So,
are you doing the thing? Oh, dang it. Okay, fine.
All right. So I'm sharing on sharing friendship with Jesus. And so last Sunday I was standing and I was worshiping and I was praying and I had all these like voices in the back of my head saying, do this, like go pray for this person, go do this, go do that, go do this, like doing all of the things. Like, so I have a lot of emotions, and so when we talk about my emotions, my friends and I say I feel all of the things all of the time. And so sometimes I feel that way about doing stuff too, especially in particular, like doing stuff for Jesus. And when I was standing there, I just heard him say, Miranda, you don't have to do anything. I delight in you and I love you. And he told me to share that with you guys today because that's exactly how he feels about you. So, Ryan, can you come read this, please? So there's this benediction that I love. We're going to read it at the beginning, and then we're going to read it at the end. And it's called the Breakfast Benediction. And this family that I really love, they created it. And so they sit at their breakfast table, and they read it together. And I think it's really powerful.
I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to hurry. I don't have to worry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world.
So I feel like in order to share Jesus' love with other people, man, it's like you've got to be very secure in his love for you. I know for me, it's hard to not want to like fix situations or just do a bunch of things and feel like I'm doing a lot of things for Jesus, but I'm not really letting him love me and I'm not letting him love him or letting me love him. So to share Jesus' friendship is to love God, to love ourselves and other people. And that seems very simplistic, but it's kind of complicated at the same time. Simple but complicated. One of Jesus's many wonderful names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Sharing Jesus's love means entering into another person's world, just like he did with us, while holding on to yourself, your relationship with him, and the other person, and you have to hang between those two worlds in which you find yourself. A really cool thing that I love about him is, like, you're sitting here right now with all of these people next to you, and not one of us is alike. Not one. We have maybe like similar characteristics or things or similar ways of looking at life, but that's okay. And Jesus loves you all because he created you uniquely. I was reading Galatians 6, 2-9 and in the Passion Translation, and he said, my beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with a fault, may the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him. Win him over with gentle words, which will open his heart to you and will keep you from exalting yourself over him. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the Anointed One as we carry each other's troubles. If you think you're too important to stoop down to help another, you're living in deception. Let everyone be devoted to fulfill the work God has given them to do with excellence. And this is the part that I really like right here. And their joy will be in doing what's right and in being themselves, and not in being affirmed by others. Every believer is ultimately responsible for his or her own conscience. And those who are taught the word must share all good things with their teacher. A sharing of wealth takes place between them. Make no mistake about it, God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self, life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seed of spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Take every advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. So, entering into each other's world while holding on to ourselves and holding on to Jesus, it really feels like a dance at times. And for me, it doesn't feel like an easy feat at all. we have to come into these relationships with the heart of Jesus, which I feel like in a simplistic way is that people aren't projects to be fixed, they're people to be loved. And Rafina said something really cool the other week. We were at a conference and we were talking about the Father's love and we were talking about Jesus on the cross. And she said, the love of the Father supersedes any human emotion. With Jesus, the Father's love had to supersede any emotion he felt, and he probably felt a lot of them. So for Jesus, a love relationship with God and with us was the aim of his entire life. He always thought that coming to be with us was a really good idea, and it happened, and that to selflessly love us was going to bear all kinds of good fruit. Everything we sow into other people's lives is not for nothing. In that same breath, we are not defined by what we do. The love that we give other people really flows out of who you are. So if you're a follower of Jesus, the love in which you give is found in and comes from him, just like Jeff was talking about. We are the branches and we abide in the vine. Jesus is the vine dresser. And the most important thing about us is our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with one another. Let's see, where am I at here? So I really do love how Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time, because his love is very supernatural, yet at the same time, it's so utterly tangible and real. The Father, he didn't just shout at us from the sky saying he loves us, but he called us by our names, which means we're his. And just like Jesus's name, Emmanuel, he enters into our world. And the Father and Jesus are fully present with us right now by the Holy Spirit, and they gave us one another. He really, really loves us. But just being super, super real doesn't capture his full essence. Neither does just being really, really, really spiritual either. Jesus just doesn't want us. Well, I was thinking about this this week. Chris Davis and I were actually talking about this. We're talking about giving words to people. And giving words to people has completely changed my life. I remember, I don't know if anybody knows Amy Broody, but she prophesied over me one time. And she said, Miranda, the Father's heart for you, she goes, you're a sports girl, right? I was like, yeah, I love sports. So she's like, God is the Father that never misses a practice and he never misses a game. And when you kick the ball and you miss, he's right there to pick you back up and to walk alongside you again. And that was really, really, really powerful. And it changed my life forever. The cool thing about Amy, though, was that she didn't just want to give me that word, but she wanted to walk alongside me as she saw that word unfold in my life. And that's what Jesus does with us. So Hebrews 12:2 says this: we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze into Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is, I feel like, where we have to start in friendship with Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us. Because his heart was so focused on the joy of knowing you and us together that he endured the painful death on the cross and was resurrected on the third day. The love of the Father does supersede any emotion that Jesus was feeling on the cross at that moment, because he loved us. We are image bearers, and we're created in the likeness of God, who through Christ, via the Holy Spirit, we are reconciled to the Father because of his lavish love and his amazing grace. And knowing Jesus takes the burden off of everything, because we don't have to be God. And like Adam and Eve, we don't have to hide in shame anymore. We don't have to perform. And it's the most beautiful mystery that we get to partake in and behold while we are here on this earth. And the coolest part is that we get to experience it together as a church family. I love that. this should be the safest place for people to come and explore their relationship with Jesus and one another. And so if you're in here today, the reason is you more than likely probably had some weirdo Christian come into your life, walk with you, who told you about Jesus, and now you're one of the weird Jesus followers. I felt the same way. I wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I thought, I've said this many times, but I thought his followers were weird. I thought he was weird. But I had people who were willing to love me through all of that, through the not knowing, through the questions, through the why. They just walked alongside me and they loved me. So another cool thing is Jesus shared friendship with us before he shared it with before we shared it with other people. So we know that when we look at Jesus, we know what it looks like to share friendship with other people. In reality, we're just returning the love that he has given us when we love other people, when we love him and other people. And I feel like we're to take advantage of every opportunity to love and to be a blessing, especially for the people who are part of our church family, just like Galatians 6 says, which is kind of what Larry was talking about a few weeks ago when he spoke on John 17, and he was giving us all those examples of ways that we can love one another, and that how the watching world will see how we in this room interact, how we love one another, how we love Jesus, how we receive Jesus' love. And that's the most beautiful thing about us. So John 17:6 says, "I've manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the word that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so oh, did I add another thing in there? So that we're reading this twice. So that they know you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. All things belong to the Father. You belong to the Father. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and since we're followers of Jesus, they have a friendship with Jesus. And we belong to one another because all of this is about friendship with Jesus, a relationship. And all of this is possible because of our relationship with Jesus and his relationship with the Father. Jesus and the Father are looking face to face, and they're looking at one another, and we're kind of caught in the middle of all of that. And they're looking at us with eyes of love. I love Tim Keller's quote because all this is, I've been perplexed in my mind as I'm trying to think about all this week. It says, "One of the signs that you may not grasp the unique, radical nature of Jesus is that you are certain that you do." All of this is like super intense. So a life like Jesus's life brings the miraculous and it brings the supernatural together. Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes we try to separate our humanity from the supernatural because we think that they can be counterproductive to one another, when in reality, it's not counterproductive at all. They have a symbiotic relationship and they need one another. Otherwise, we would just be like big, huge balls of flesh, or we would just be like these formless souls and spirits floating like Catherine Coleman. I love her, by the way. So this kind of separation that we have in our minds can be traced back to Enlightenment thinking and can be traced back to different philosophical ideas of the Christian faith. We serve a God who is both supernatural, and at the same time, he entered into our world tangibly to walk with us, which is the exact model for how we're to share his friendship with other people. The thing that binds us together isn't because we all have similar interests in this room, because we're all the same age. We're from the same, I guess we're from the same city, but that's not what binds us together. Jesus' friendship is what binds us all together. And without him, we're just another weird cult or a social club, but we're not that. Jesus was born like us via childbirth. He was born naked out of Mary, but via the power of the Holy Spirit. Childbirth, just like I don't know how, where's, where are they at? I don't know how she's up and walking today, honestly. That's amazing. I've never watched a birth, but I've heard that it's not pretty, it's real, it's raw, it's painful, and it's a part of life. Yet at the same time, I've heard it's one of the most supernatural experiences anybody will ever watch, and I've heard that it's one of the most beautiful, joyful experiences anybody will ever partake in. Jesus' birth is miraculous, because it didn't take a man and a woman to make him. It was the physical and spiritual meeting as one. Jesus performed miracles, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, and he had all of the authority to forgive sins. He also died a very real and gruesome death on the cross, and then he was miraculously resurrected. Some scholars think that Jesus was crucified naked. Talk about vulnerable. Jesus laid it all on the line, and he actually lived out one of my biggest fears, which is being seen for who you really are, being vulnerable, and then being rejected. The risk of incarnation, like Jesus, is the risk of being accepted or rejected for who you really are. And I think most people in this room, if we're honest with ourselves, would say that it might be one of our biggest fears too. Sometimes I think it's easier for us to love a Jesus that tells us exactly what to do instead of being our friend, because being someone's friend is a very risky place to be, because you allow them to have access to your heart. So if we let Jesus and other people fully love us, they will love us just the way that we are. And if he loves us just the way that we are, then they have to see who we really are, and we have to see who we really are. So sometimes I'd rather just have him tell me what to do, because that kind of love means I have to become visible. You have to become visible to others. We have to become known, and we have to become vulnerable, and we have to risk being accepted or rejected. And Jesus did this very thing with us. The God who created everything, who knows you better than you know yourself, he allowed himself to be touched, loved, held, and known. And he risked being rejected by the very people that he created. Because just as he says in John, there is no greater love than someone who is willing to lay down their life for their friends. The creator of the universe, the creator of you, didn't coerce you into loving him. Instead, he was filled with love and grace in humility, and he took on flesh, and he walked with us. He's walking with us. So I'm not so sure that sharing friendship with Jesus and sharing friendship with Jesus is all about knowing all the right answers and telling other people how you think he wants them to live. Sharing Jesus with people is certainly not just doing things for God, because I don't know if there is enough good things on this earth to do anyway. And it's not going to make him love you any more than he does right now in this moment. Friendship with Jesus precedes any action that we could ever do to love the people around us, because being precedes doing, and Jesus doesn't just bring people and himself back to life. He himself is the resurrection. Bob Goff says, I love Bob Goff. Who else loves Bob Goff?
Yes! You guys are my people.
Okay. If it matters more what your faith looks like than what it is, it's time to start all over again. And this Bob Goff quote is why I believe that we're in the school of Jesus. Because he wants us to know that he wants us and he wants our hearts. He wants to walk with us as we walk with him. And our worst day isn't bad enough to push him away. And our best day isn't enough to measure up. Jesus walks with us because he is love and he loves us. Not because we've earned it, but because he's love. If anybody has ever been amongst a group of people who love like that and love like Jesus' love, it literally is the most wonderful experience on the face of this planet. Since being here at Evangel, I've actually experienced a lot of that in some really cool ways. And a lot of it just looks like a lot of fun at the end of the day. Rafina and I, like, if you guys know, I'm always hanging out with Rafina. But we just have all of these weird, peculiar stories about what Jesus is doing in our life and just about life in general. We have all these weird nicknames for each other. We went to that conference that I was telling you guys about earlier where she had said that really cool thing about the love of the Father supersedes any human emotion. And on the way up to the conference, for me, this is what sharing Jesus looks like. So I'm just giving you an example. We're driving on our way up to the conference, and Jeff's driving. Chris is in the passenger seat. I don't know if Tracy was in the back at that time, but Rafina and I are sitting in the back, and she's talking about the birds and Crocs. So if you know Rafina, you know she's always talking about how birds aren't real, and she loves Crocs, the shoes. So we're driving up there, and as we get to the conference, I don't know if it was you that said to her, I think it might have been you, you're like, we can't, like, chill out. No, it might not have been you. I think it was Chris. Like, chill out on the birds and the Crocs. Like, we gotta be professional. We can't have too much fun here. And so we sit down, and the speaker, Steve, he comes up. I couldn't see what kind of shoes he was wearing at the time, but he comes up, and he starts talking about what the conference is going to be about. And then all of a sudden, he stops, like, mid-sentence, and he's like, oh, sorry. You guys are probably wondering why I'm wearing Crocs. He goes, there was a flying turkey that hit my foot. So birds and Crocs. Don't tell me that Jesus doesn't care about having fun. He completely does. And I think that's part of it, is when you're just walking with Jesus and you're walking with other people, you allow yourself to have moments like that. It doesn't seem life-changing in the moment, but it is. Because you just get to be you. You get to love Jesus, you get to love other people, and you get to be you, the version of you that he created. And if that's funny, awesome. If that's quiet, awesome. He loves us so much. So, as we delight ourselves in him, we become more like who he created us to be, and we become more like him. Jesus couldn't do anything without the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things, there is no such law. On Jesus' last night, he didn't use his freedom to evangelize, to pack a stadium and talk to people. He didn't even pray for Judas to be healed or whatever was going on in him so that he wouldn't betray him. He didn't perform miracles. And maybe like us, like we would do, he didn't sit and like binge watch a series on Netflix or whatever else that people my age do. But instead, he spent his last moments loving the people who he had just spent the last few years with. And I think this says something about his nature And I think it says something about who we are as his people. Miracles are wonderful. They're amazing. Having biblical knowledge, that's lovely. That's amazing too. But his love for his people supersedes all of that. He loved selflessly. He loved graciously, tangibly, and supernaturally in his last moments. I have no doubt in my mind that it was Jesus's joy to love his friends in such a beautiful way. Even Judas, who said he was Jesus's friend. I asked Chris Davis what he thought Jesus felt in the moment he was washing Judas's feet. I guess you too. And he said, heartbroken. I think so. I think he allowed the love of the Father to supersede what he was feeling in that moment. Peter Scazzaro says this: Jesus was fully aware of what he was doing, of whose he was, and this freed him from the expectations of family, friends, and culture. Jesus was emotionally healthy and intelligent. The love that God has superseded the pain of rejection and the elation of the approval of man. Jesus was wholly given to the Father, and he was wholly given to being led by the Spirit, which in my opinion, that's a mark of strength and goes to show that God's strength is definitely made perfect in our weaknesses, even when our circumstances aren't the best. The outside world will know whose friend we are, whom we serve, when we love one another just as Jesus loves us. John 13:35 says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The thing is, I wrote something extra in there. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 13. And it says this: "If I were to speak with eloquence in many earth's languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to a hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but I've never learned to love, then I'm nothing. If I were to be so generous as to give away everything I owned, yes, to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame, disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving." Okay. "Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial, but when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day when I matured and I set aside my childish ways, for now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror, but one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love, yet love surpasses them all. So above all, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run." Bob Goff again says it best when it comes to sharing friendship with Jesus: "But the kind of love that God created and demonstrated is a costly one, because it involves sacrifice and presence, and it's a love that operates more like a sign language than being spoken outright." Jesus also says this about sharing his friendship in John 15: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for that I have made known to you." So when I think of Jesus's friend, well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians for the last portion when it talks about now are these three things, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Love is something, it's formed in us. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes all these things. It takes bearing with one another. I mean, I know Jesus can heal things like that in a moment, and we ask for that. At the same time, he's both. He's that, and he's loving one another, which takes, it just takes a lot of time. When I think of Jesus's friendship, I think that he's the kind of friend that always speaks the truth and love to us, and he shows us the way to true life. I think he speaks the Father's heart over us, and he calls us to participate in what he's doing in the world. And he's the kind of friend who bridges the gap for us in so many ways, including our relationship with one another. We belong to one another through and in Jesus. This whole friendship with Jesus thing is it's a quite communal endeavor. And everything we have as followers of Jesus, including our relationships with one another, we offer up for him to hold. So, when we're friends with people, we're usually really informed about what's happening in their lives. We don't just know what's going on in their life for the sake of knowing, but it's because we genuinely care. We love them. That's not to say that there are different kinds of friendships. There are. And there are different seasons, and there are different friendships that end because of different seasons of life. But I believe that deep and intimate friendships are born out of sharing life together. They aren't formulaic, but they do take intentionality. At the same time, most of my deep friendships have seemed to happen almost supernaturally. Like to where I said to Jesus, I will probably never be friends with you. Now he's my best friend. I've said that about almost every single one of my best friends. I've looked at them and been like, I have no idea how I could be friends. I thought the same thing about Rafina. I was like, we are nothing alike. And now she's my best friend. So ultimately, sharing Jesus's friendship isn't just about sharing him with others, which it is, but it's sharing life with him and with others. Sharing Jesus isn't just telling people the right way to live, although that is a byproduct of doing life with him and with our church family. It's about pointing them to Jesus by inviting people into our world. And sometimes we lose sight of what sharing friendship with Jesus really looks like because we ourselves lose sight of who Jesus is, because we're out of touch and we just really need to reconnect with him on a friend level. So, Jeannie, can I have you come up here and read that again? So I just want to read the benediction again. And then we're going to do something interactive.
I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to hurry. I don't have to worry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world.
Thank you. So in reality, I really think that's what sharing friendship with Jesus, that encompasses that really, really well. We're loved by him. He entered into our world. We get to enter into other people's world and invite them into our world. And we just get to extravagantly love people. I love that. And get to know one another. So, when I went to Northlake, there's one person who kind of changed my life because he entered into my world. His name's Louis Ulrich. I don't know if anybody knows Louis Ulrich. But we call him the Candy Man. And so you'd walk in the door, and this man for me is like the depiction of sharing love with Jesus, because he'd just come up to you and he'd shake your hand and he'd give you candy. And him and Luis were talking to me one time, and they said, they're like, I don't know if anything that we're doing makes any difference whatsoever. And I was like, you guys are not that you're supposed to have favorites, but I was like, you guys are my favorite people. Like, people come in and you look at them and you see them and you introduce yourself to them and you hear their name and you make people feel so welcome. You invite people in like Jesus invites people in. And literally it was something as simple as just like handing someone a piece of candy. But because he did that, and they've done that for, I don't know how many years, 50-something years like that. But I cannot imagine how many lives he's changed just because of something that seems so small. But I think it's big in the scope of things. So I have a few questions that I want to ask people. And if you answer, you get a piece of candy. Are we ready? Okay. Does it feel like school yet? Okay, so does anybody want to share what their middle name is? Yes, okay. Jessica, what's your middle name?
Rodriguez.
Ooh, I like it. And we're simply doing this so we can get to know each other, just for the enjoyment of it. All right, let's see. Anybody's favorite book? What's your favorite book? Does anybody want to share? All right. Ben-Hur. What is it?
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Does anybody want to share their favorite nickname that anybody has ever given them? Wait, you can't go more than once. Oh my goodness. Okay, wait, hold on. McKenna had her hand up first. McKenna.
Kenny.
Kenny. Wait, can you share? Like Kenny G?
No, like Kenny Chesney. I was teaching VBS and I always sang country songs, and most of them were Kenny Chesney, so everybody just started calling me Kenny, and it lasted for like 6 years.
There you go. It's awesome, Kenny. Okay. All right, Jeff, this one's for you. I don't have to have a piece of candy. I'll still share. I know. Oh, nice. Okay, do you prefer Jefferson Airplane or Jefferson Starship?
Oh. Starship, obviously.
All right, there you go. All right, go for it.
I was called Tinhead Taylor.
Nice, wow, that's impressive.
There's a story in that.
Oh my goodness. Exactly. All right, so if anybody didn't get to answer a question and you want a piece of candy, please feel free to come up and grab one. I just wanted to do that because it just takes the pressure off of everything. It's hard walking in here on a Sunday morning, especially when you don't know people and you're new. But I think Jesus makes us feel really welcome. And I think he loves everybody in this room. And I think doing life together sometimes is as simple as that. I think it's a lot of fun to do life together. I think it's a lot of fun to do life together with Jesus. And I think when we're secure in his love for us and his grace, we know that and we get to just be us. So I'm going to pray. And then if you guys want candy, go for it. Jesus, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for the way that you invite us in. I thank you for stepping into this world because you wanted to be with us. I thank you for enduring everything on the cross because you wanted to know us and that we were the joy set before you. Sometimes that's really hard to wrap our minds around, that you love us that much. So thank you for just being so humble and so kind and so gracious. And we're just so grateful that you love us and that we get to love you and that we get to love one another. I just pray that in this next year for Evangel, that we would just get to experience so much fun together, that we would get to know one another at a deep level, that we would get to know you at a deep level, and that this school of Jesus thing, it would just become our everyday life, that loving you and loving other people would just flow out of who we are. So Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for today, and just bless everybody in this room to feel your love. In Jesus' name, amen.